Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
Our special guest today is Liz Del Negro, the Federal Acquisition Services Chief Information Officer inside the General Services Administration. Liz, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with some basics now. You've been CIO at the FAS for about a year now. I remember when you took over for Ed O'Hare. It was soon after he moved from the presidential transition. So how's it going? You know, this is a pretty big change, maybe from your assistant commissioner's role. Talk about, you know, some impressions of your job so far.
This is a much larger organization than I was running before. I was running the Strategic Business Planning and Process Improvement organization, very small, strategy focused. And then I moved into the CIO role, which I've been in and out of a technology environment for my whole career. But moving into the CIO role, the pace is much faster than it was before. And just the variety of topics that I get involved in from everywhere, from just supporting network to supporting our major business applications, has been a very interesting change of pace for me.
In your past role, you were the Assistant Commissioner in the Office of Strategic Business Planning and Process Improvement, which is a big title for anyone's business card, much easier to say the FAS CIO. What were you doing in that role, and how does it compare to what you're doing as the CIO?
Well, it was a great experience for me to be in that position because, for a number of reasons, I could look at the organization from a strategic perspective. You're very much at the commissioner level of the organization. So I had that perspective. I could also see where IT was being used, and it wasn't as, you know, when we were not strategically using IT within some parts of the organization. So it gave me a really, really good perspective to see we need to drive forward on some of these areas, and we could use IT as a solution. The other thing is we were doing process improvement. And if you've ever done application development, you're basically automating processes, and sometimes we automate bad processes. So, you know, the process improvement piece really does feed into IT, and most of those projects actually ended up with changes to systems. And so what you'd have to do is we were really working hard to try to bring the CIO and the process improvement team together from the beginning of the process so that when the system changes were ready to be made, the CIO is prepared to make those changes.
To be clear, the Office of Strategic Business Planning and Process Improvement was within FAS. Was it also within ITS, Integrated Technology Services?
Well, so FAS is the umbrella organization. Integrated Technology Services is one component of FAS, as is General Supplies and Services, Assisted Acquisition Services, and TMVCS, which is Travel, Motor Vehicle, and Card Services. So all of those, we call them portfolios. Those four portfolios make up the Federal Acquisition Service.
You mentioned it briefly, your biggest adjustment to being CIO. You talk about the pace. Obviously, Ed O'Hare has been there to hopefully help you make that adjustment. But beyond the pace, and maybe if you can go into a little more, has there been other things that you've been surprised you about the job?
Before, I worked for GSA's legacy Federal Supply Service. Before FAS was created, we were two services, Federal Supply and Federal Technology. We merged those together. So in legacy FSS, I was the deputy CIO and then the acting CIO before I left in 2005. I figured going back to the CIO, I would kind of know what to expect going back into that position, but it's a much different organization. It's much broader, it's much bigger, and just the kind of volume of work has increased dramatically. So I kind of knew what I was getting into, but when I got there, I was definitely not surprised, but exposed to a lot more, which has been excellent, really. You really get a good grasp of the organization and the IT needs for it. So that was a change for me.
And obviously, Ed's been there to help you, so it's not like he retired or he went to another agency and it was maybe hard to get in touch with him. He was able to offer some mentorship, I would guess.
So Ed and I go way back. I actually worked for Ed when I was in the FSS CIO. He brought me over. I was working in a customer service and marketing role. So I've worked for Ed, and he's been a mentor for me for really quite a long time, at least 10 or 15 years. And so It was actually a very natural, smooth transition to me moving into that position and him moving to ITS. And he's always been available for me to bounce off ideas and explain what's going on and, you know, kind of we strategize on where we could take the CIO organization.
Speaking of the CIO organization, people think of Federal Acquisition Service for its name, Federal Acquisition Service. I mean, but you support that. The infrastructure, you support the back end of FAS. Talk about what your role is as the CIO. And
just so I can explain, GSA has a CIO, that's Casey Coleman. She is responsible for the network and the desktop environment and the enterprise-wide support. I'm a business line CIO, and I support all of the business applications or organization applications for FAS. We call it a business because we work on a revolving fund. And we do try to operate like a business, although obviously we are committed to the government and taxpayer requirements. So what I do is I have all of the applications, all the business applications, and we provide support from not only back-end infrastructure, but actual development support. So if an organization has new business requirements, we work with our internal customers to develop those requirements and then move them into an existing application.
In a sense, so if you need more storage, you need more processing power, that's Casey's role. But if the people who run Alliant Networks, any of the big contracts come to you and say, you know, we need a new pricing tool or our pricing tool needs to be updated because it's not doing what we need it to do, that's where you come in. Do I have that right?
Yes. If Alliant Networks came to me and needed an application, I would build it. But I also have the infrastructure that supports the application. The network uses their own set of servers and mail and things like that. But we have to have infrastructure available to support these applications as well. So, for instance, I have a mainframe. We have a number of servers that we host out at an external provider.
So in a sense, just to, again, not to put a fine point on this, but just to be clear, so you'll work with the infrastructure to support the business applications, but the agency infrastructure, like email, that would be something that's more in Casey Coleman, the main CIO at GSA's role.
Correct.
Okay. It's just always good to be clear but in terms of where people stand, because I think a lot of people, it can be confusing with multiple CIOs. And obviously, and you work probably very closely with Casey and as well as the Public Building Service CIO on strategy and things like that.
Yes. It is actually confusing internal to GSA, too, so I actually like to clarify who is doing what. I do work with Diane Hurt, who is the PBS CIO, and actually GSA has at least 7 CIOs, which surprises everybody. So Casey is the enterprise CIO, but our CFO has their own CIO, and we do have a fair number of systems that have to be supported and managed.
Wow. Again, you only think of the three. The three business areas, the headquarters, the enterprise, the FAS, and PBS. So now that gives me a bunch more people to interview, so I'll have to keep that in mind. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some about your priorities and those couple keywords, networks, Alliant, that you mentioned. But you are listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Liz Del Negro, the GSA Federal Acquisition Services Chief Information Officer.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com. When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Liz Del Negro, the GSA Federal Acquisition Services Chief Information Officer. Now, Liz, before break, we were talking a lot about how you support the FAS mission, your year into the job, and how you're settling in. Let's talk about some of your priorities over the next 6, 9 months, even longer. What do you hope to get done?
I'm very focused on modernizing our systems, specifically our acquisition environment. We have a wide variety of applications, but we also have some very legacy systems as well. And so I'm very focused on trying to modernize those. We have something called the Enterprise Acquisition Solution in place that we're putting together. And I think the community will start to see some changes going forward. For instance, we are constantly, if you work with GSA Advantage at all, you know what the SIP tool is and you've heard about it. We're working to put in new services into the environment so that we can phase out the SIP tool at some point in the process. We're very focused on enterprise acquisition and then modernization in general. So we've taken a SOA, services-oriented architecture approach overall. We're using Business Process Management Suite. But also we're looking at cloud solutions. And I really do think that SOA and having the services available and having standards-based development will help us work with some of these cloud solutions. Because, you know, when I talk about Web 2.0, I talk about the integration factor. There's a social media factor. There is a community factor. But being able to integrate across applications, across organizations, across companies or vendors is going to be the true value. And we can really create, you know, you'll create our own network, somewhat mix and match for the organization. So that's what I'm really looking forward to.
All right, you hit upon a couple of key terms here. Let's start with the modernization of the systems around acquisition environment. Now, the integrated acquisition environment, that is separate from what you're doing. Is that correct?
Yes, it is a separate environment. So we're focused on the organization of FAS. Integrated acquisition environment is they're putting up solutions for the entire federal government. And there is another CIO within GSA, Chris Forniker, who manages that environment.
Because I think when a lot of people hear about acquisition and modernization, that's the first thing, because there was a contract awarded just recently. I think it was IBM. And they're talking about 8 systems that they're bringing together. So that's a whole separate thing. Now, I imagine they'll eventually integrate with your systems because of how much work you guys do. So what systems then are we talking about from a FAS level?
They're very familiar with FSS19, which is our legacy environment. We also have applications called eOffers and eMods. We have assisted acquisition service environment has what used to be the old ITSS. So, there are multiple components of acquisition that we want to tie together. And those are the ones that we're really focused on today.
E-offer, E-mod, we've heard about that a lot over the years. And I think the goal here is to make it quicker, make it easier. Can you talk a little bit about where you're going with that? I mean, have you already made some upgrades and there's other upgrades coming? Or when should we expect to see maybe the initial set of upgrades that's really going to affect how these tools work?
I believe we'll see in the next 6 months a change. We're working on what we're calling the pricing tool for e-offers and e-mods. So when a vendor is submitting an offer, and this is primarily the schedules program, the offer will be electronic coming into GSA, but also we're looking to use a lot of commercial. There's a lot of commercial organizations that provide descriptions for products, and we're focused on products right now to reduce the burden on the vendor as well as reduce the burden on the contracting officer. And then when that is this data is brought into the tools, the contracting officer will be able to compare, especially if it's a mod, they'll be able to look at the current prices. And they'll also be able to look at the modifications electronically. We will be highlighting any changes that we see coming forward, which should expedite the process because today it's a very manual, labor-intensive process for both the vendor and the contracting officer. So I expect those changes, as long as the policy comes along with it, in the next 6 months to start hitting the street.
I know a lot of vendors are definitely excited about the e-offer and e-mod. Specifically, I think e-mod, I think the modification, I remember some numbers in terms of time frames that Ed O'Hara had mentioned, it takes weeks instead of could do it in days. So I think you'll have a lot of people excited about that. The other thing you mentioned was the FSS19, the legacy system. Now, what's that do? What kind of system is that?
FSS19 is a true legacy application. It was written in, I think it was 1980. It's a COBOL application on a mainframe. I mean, that doesn't mean it's been static since that time. There have been a lot of changes and areas added to FSS19. And we call it a homegrown ERP because it really does have a tremendous amount of functionality in addition to, this acquisition component. Where I see SOA being able to assist us is some of these components work very well They're very efficient. And certainly in the beginning, we want to be focusing on the gaps when we're doing development. So if there are gaps in the systems that are provided, we should be able to work on those gaps and then basically use services to get to the legacy environment. You can essentially wrap a module and pass data back and forth. So that's where we see being able to use SOA to kind of, it's almost more of an evolutionary approach in some ways, that we're not trying to do a big bang. We've certainly, GSA has had some very well-published big bang failures. We're taking a different, a little bit more incremental approach, but really trying to reuse what works and fill in the gaps where there are gaps in the application.
I think you're not the only one with the ERP challenges of trying to get in the big bang approach. And I think the agile or modular contract, whatever it's called now, is definitely the way to go. The other piece you said that you're looking at modernizing is the GSA Advantage, some new services around that. You mentioned one specific application. Can you talk about what you're looking at around GSA Advantage?
Well, so we're looking to upgrade GSA Advantage. We want to take it into the web 2.0 environment. We're actually currently taking Advantage off of its current platform. The platform has not been updated and, you know, kept our needs. So we're moving into an open source services-based environment for GSA Advantage. And our end users will start to see some of the kind of bells and whistles that come along with a Web 2.0 environment, including navigation and search. Search is a big critical issue for it. You can imagine the volume of transactions and the major catalog. We have millions and millions of items, and so trying to narrow down your search is critical. Also, for services vendors, we're trying to change the way we display services on GSA Advantage, so it's easier for our customers to understand what the service providers are offering. A little different than products.
We're going to take another break, and then we're going to come back. We'll talk maybe Networks Alliant. Maybe we'll talk some what vendors should know about trying to support your office. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Liz Del Negro, the GSA Federal Acquisition Services Chief Information Officer.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com. When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Liz Del Negro, the General Services Administration's Federal Acquisition Services Chief Information Officer. Now, Liz, before break, we talked a lot about your priorities, how you're modernizing systems while you're really bringing in some things like cloud computing and services-oriented architecture. One thing that you guys do in your FAS gets very well known for is the GWACs, and specifically Alliant, and specifically Networks, the telecommunications contract. How does your office as the CIO support those two big contracts or any of the other contracts that GSA runs?
We support the applications that run or assist those organizations with running their environment or their business. But we also do a lot of the compliance things. So, for instance, security. Today, Networks has an MTIPS contract out on the street. As part of that, the vendors have to provide their CNAs, their certification and accreditation paperwork. My office is the one that's reviewing those and, you know, going back and forth with the vendor. And then I'll be the one to issue the authority to operate for MTIPS. And we also support them on the, reporting side. We do, obviously, OMB. The 300s and the 53s and all the things that we have to report through up to OMB and Casey's office.
So you're the MTIPS person because we're all waiting on you. You know that because I talked to some of the vendors and you hear bits and pieces about who's getting which award for MTIPS, but you don't hear a lot of it. And every time I do an interview, I ask, do you have the authority to operate? We're hoping. So how close are we?
Well, it's not just me. We are reliant on the vendor to provide their CNA. And this is a message that I have for vendors, is that we take the CNAs very, very seriously, and we need vendors to understand that we're looking for them to provide a lot of information. The closer we can work together, the faster we can get the CNAs done. So there is both sides have some responsibility in moving those forward. I don't have the schedule off the top of my head. AT&T is very close, and then we have scheduled coming up Sprint and Quest and Verizon. We're working very closely with Verizon, too. So there is a published schedule, and they're all coming out, or at least the CNA schedules have been established for the next few months.
Very good, because I know people are waiting, so at least I am. How about that, because I follow networks. Let's talk about some of the challenges that you're facing as the CIO in helping FAS meet its mission. You always hear similar ones. You mentioned security. You mentioned earlier in our conversation, there's just the pace, the speed. But let's talk about, you know, where do you see as kind of the hurdles that you have to get over both in the short term and the long term?
Well, currently, the sheer volume of work that we, not only that we're involved in, but that is coming our way, is tremendous. And we need to find a way to manage that work. The priorities are changing, too. They change very rapidly. And my organization, I want us to be more agile so we can meet those priorities. But we're not always set up to quickly change on a dime. So those are the types of things that we need to work on within the organization, and also work with our customers as well so that they have an understanding of what we need to get the job done. That's not always clear. So part of my role is to communicate those, what we need to get the job done and do it more quickly.
I know at the recent ERMCO conference, GSA Administrator Martha Johnson talked about customer intimacy, and that's probably going to fall a lot on FAS, but that's also going to come back to you. Okay, we need this technology, we need this capability to be, if you will, more intimate with our customers. Have you already started to see some of those things happening? You talk about pace, but you also talk about agility.
We're working on a strategy right now of how we're going to approach that. So we're already working on bringing tools in. For instance, we put up the Better Buy Wiki so that we can comment on some of the acquisitions out there. I think GSA as a whole is bringing in tools like IdeaScale that we will be trying to access and use as well. So as those things evolve, we're trying to bring them into the organization and as quickly as we can.
All right. Something, again, the strategy, I think that'd be interesting. I think a lot of people like to see what customer intimacy really means. I think there's a lot of people out there who go, okay, well, we get the idea, but how are you going to make it happen? There's a lot of vendors who are probably also very interested in what your office is doing, and how do you like vendors to work with your office? I used to ask the question about upcoming procurements, but people always get very hesitant on that. So if there's any upcoming procurements you can talk about, that'd be great. But generally speaking, what do you want to tell vendors?
Well, actually, my first message to vendors is, I'm sorry I can't meet with every single one of you. I get a lot of requests to meet with vendors, and I do want to meet with the vendor community because I learn from the vendor community as well, but I can't meet with everybody. So what I try to do is pick and choose vendors that I think will obviously work within our environment and, you know, have some type of a tool or offering that I see coming up. Right now, I don't have an acquisition on the table coming up. We're working very closely on supply chain as part of the FSS 19 modernization. We have not only acquisition, but we also have a global supply environment, which we physically and also have vendor-managed inventory. We supply warehouse items, and that's a supply chain environment. So we're looking to come up with a solution for this global supply within FAS that should be coming in the next probably 6 months or so.
Okay, I think people will be interested. Now, are you an email person? Do you prefer the face-to-face meetings? Do you prefer vendors to call you? Because I know a lot of CIOs say, you know, I just get so much email, it all gets lost, and I always feel bad. For instance, I hear this often, not responding. So how do you prefer communication-wise?
I generally prefer email. Usually what happens is I'll be at something like ERMCO and meet vendors that are there, and we'll trade cards, and then I kind of know who it is and can kind of expedite that meeting. Sometimes the phone calls, though, if they may not get answered right away either. And I do need people to be understanding that I'm not trying to ignore the community at all. It's just a matter of trying to, you know, meet all these different stakeholder needs.
I think you're not alone in your challenges, so I think a lot of vendors are used to it. Let's talk about the makeup of your office a little bit. How many federal employees do you have versus contractors? Are you a centralized, decentralized environment? And, of course, everyone likes to know, what is your IT budget?
Well, can I just backtrack on the vendor community, though? One more thing I'd like to – my message to the vendor community is I need the community to take this certification and accreditation seriously. That as we start looking at cloud solutions, I think the biggest barrier we have had is trying to figure out how security works within a cloud solution. If we get past that and we have the cooperation from the vendor from the beginning, I think we will. The government as a whole will be able to move some of these cloud solutions forward. So that's my comment there. The makeup of my organization, so I have about 120 government personnel and 500 contractors. I have at least 10 different vendors performing major functions within the organization. So our big vendor, we call it the FAME contract, is the FAS Application Maintenance and Enhancement. Lockheed Martin, along with Team, is the prime on FAME. But we also have small companies, one called TechFlow, that is working on our we call regional business applications, but assisted acquisition service applications. I have a company called Savvis who does our hosting. We have a team from Sybase that does some of our database management environment. And we have a company called Pickstar that helps us with the business objects environment. So one of the things with the vendor, within the CIO, not only do you have to manage all these other things, there's a vendor management component that has to happen as well that we're trying to improve. I need all these vendors to work together. And yeah, as we do things like configuration management and operations, the vendors really need to be working together so that I, as one FAS, we can have a successful FAS-CIO organization. And I not have to worry about one vendor doing this and one vendor doing that. They really need to be working for FAS.
And quickly, your IT budget's roughly what for 2010?
We're around $150 million operating budget.
Nice little chunk of change. We are almost out of time, but before I let you go, I want to talk a little bit about your background. We talked a little bit about your time at GSA, and it seemed to me that maybe you had left GSA and came back. I don't know if private sector or other government agencies. Talk about your background a little bit.
Well, so I actually started as an intern, and I didn't start out with IT at all. I started out in customer service and marketing and found that I had an affinity for technology. And I worked in customer and service and marketing for at least 5 years and developed one of the first client-server applications, if you remember client-server, and then moved over to the CIO organization where I worked for about 10 or 15 years doing a lot of different jobs, whereas I not only did application development, but I also managed the application infrastructure. I managed the database administration environment, two very different environments that was giving me a really valuable experience to understand different parts of that organization. Then in 2005, I left GSA for personal reasons. I was home for a few months and then went into private industry from there. I was the vice president for market intelligence at FedSources. Another great experience that gave me a very good perspective on the vendor community and what they were looking for and how it is to deal with organizations like GSA and FAS getting data, getting information. So from FedSources, and actually it was Ed O'Hare who called me and had a position available back in the Strategic Business Planning and Process Improvement Organization. So I went back to GSA after 2 years of being away. And again, another very valuable perspective of the organization, and was doing, you know, a lot of different work before I came back to the CIO. And I really do believe all that experience helps you moving forward, different perspectives.
Okay, well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but this has been fascinating. I learned a lot about the Federal Acquisition Service. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Liz Del Negro, the GSA Federal Acquisition Service's Chief Information Officer. Liz, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.